Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight is Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ. He's filling in for David. We want to remind you that David is undergoing a bone marrow transplant. And he is progressing very great. The doctors are very pleased with his progress. Talked to David today, and he feels very blessed that God has blessed him in so many ways. And he's thankful for the prayers, the concerns that all have been setting forth for him. And we're just grateful that he's improving and doing as good as he is. We want to remind you that we're airing tonight from the HPR Network on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, and also on KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, as well as KQMK 1680 AM out of Oklahoma. We want to remind you also that we are also airing on Internet radio at knowthetruthradio.org. And if you'd like to get in on the discussion, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you have a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to remind you that if you are happening to be on the Internet, on the knowthetruthradio.org, they have a chat box where you can get in and chime in with questions or comments and discuss things with one another. And so be happy to take advantage of that as well. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors. Not only is this program being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, but we're also being sponsored and supported by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. But we also like to remind you that tonight at 9 o'clock, this program will re-air. So if you didn't get all of it or would like to listen to it again, tune in to knowthetruthradio.org at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you'll be able to hear a rebroadcast of this program. I also want to remind you that on knowthetruthradio.org, they have many other good programs throughout the day, and we encourage you to listen in to good gospel preaching, good gospel teaching, and good a cappella singing. Tonight, we're going to talk about the importance of the old past. And as we begin developing our thoughts tonight on the importance of the old path, I want to draw your attention to a passage from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah sometimes is known as the weeping prophet. And I believe for me and Frank, Jeremiah is possibly one of our favorite prophets, if not our favorite prophet, as I know is true with David as well. But you'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." When we look at this passage, Frank, we can clearly see the importance of the old paths, the importance of walking in those paths. And it's in the old paths that Jeremiah said that we find rest for our souls, that we find eternal life. But Frank, what are these paths? And what do we know about these paths? What does the Bible say about the paths we are to follow?
Okay, the situation that Jeremiah is discussing here, he is looking at the condition of the children of Israel at the time he makes this statement. Mm-hmm. They can look back over a very proud history of having been a great nation, one of the more mighty nations of the world, when they were following God's path. Over a period of time, through false leaders and kings that they had, They had left the path of God, and they were going in their own way. They weren't listening to those whom God had sent to them. So the path that Jeremiah is talking about is that which leads to safety, that which leads to the comfort of the soul. And when you leave it, follow a new path, then the end is going to take you somewhere else. And the end of the path that Israel was following is going to lead them into Babylonian captivity.
Exactly. When we think about this path, Frank, we also realize that for us to be able to see the path and to follow the path, there also has to be some kind of light involved, isn't it? Doesn't the Bible say something about light?
Okay, in Psalms 119 is the 105th verse. You know, the whole of the 119th Psalm, all 176 verses, all of them but two refers to the Word of God in one way or another. And in the 105th verse, he said, your word is a light, and it's a lamp. You know, if we get out and walk in the darkness, follow a path, go down the road, we need a light. If we've got a light, we can walk safely. We can see where to put our feet. We can know security. And God's word is that light to that path. And if we follow that word, we're going to be following his path.
And if we don't have that light, Frank, it's very likely, if not probable, that we're going to be finding ourselves going down the wrong path, right? When we ever get away from God's word, that's when we're going to be out of the light and therefore traveling down the wrong path. And evidently, that's what Israel was doing, because they said, as a matter of fact, they had the light available, didn't they?
Absolutely.
They could have shined the light, but they said, we will not walk therein. They know good and well the way that the path was traveling. They knew that they had the light, but they simply chose to walk another path. They refused to listen.
Okay, a little bit earlier, another prophet had spoke to them and said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The knowledge was there. They just refused it.
Exactly.
And God said, since you refuse my knowledge, then I'm going to refuse you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what put them in the wrong path.
Exactly. You know, if you think about it for a moment, Frank, we can be aware of the importance of the old paths in really our everyday lives. For example, in the home, as far as parents are concerned, the old paths of sacrifice are far better than the new paths of luxury and idleness that leave men weak. And in the home, so far as children are concerned, the old paths of obedience and respect for respect are far better than the paths of irresponsibility that we also often call juvenile delinquency. The old paths in a great many areas is indeed the better path, but in the realm of religion, it is the much better path. And that's what we're most concerned about tonight, isn't it, Frank? The old path, that's the path that we should be walking in. And this is the only path that is going to make us pleasing in the sight of God.
It is the only path that is going to lead us to the destination that we all desire.
Now, tonight we're talking about the importance of the old path. And when we think about this old path and the way we need to travel, we might consider for a moment the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we have some insight that's going to help us develop our thought tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul, writing to the young evangelist Timothy, says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. Now, there is, and there was, and there will continue to be those who refuse to walk in the old paths. Right, Frank?
To follow the word of God, to follow the instruction that he gave. As he talks to you, they desire to hear something different.
Mm-hmm.
And someone is going to present it to them. And to follow those ways leads them away from God. It's kind of like the wise man a long time ago said that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Mm-hmm.
That we, if we start down or if we travel the wrong path, we can't end in the right place.
Exactly. Now, tonight we're talking about the importance of the old paths. And we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you'd like to call in with a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about the importance of the old paths. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 through 17 that we began with tonight, there Jeremiah is telling us that we need to stand in the old paths, get back to the old paths, because those people in Jeremiah's day had gotten away from God's path, and they were beginning to travel their own path. Now, because there are so many people today, Frank, who are going away from the old paths, there is always a need for restoration. Tell us a little bit, Frank, what is really the difference between restoration and reformation? We hear a lot about those two terms, but what is really the difference, and which one are we to be involved in?
Well, as the two terms indicate, one of them is to reform or to change, and the other is to restore or to get back to the original. The illustration that might be of that is we see these people that like to, sometimes I say, restore old cars,
mm-hmm.
and they try to get back to the very original. Or you see people that will take a car and reform it, make a hot rod out of it. The difference is trying to go back to the original, to what it originally was.
Now, that hot rod may look somewhat similar to the original, but it's not the original, right?
It is not the original.
You know, there are a lot of people today who are trying to, instead of restore the church back to its first century status and the way it was in the first century, they try to reform it, and it may have some similar features, but it's not the same because they've added or subtracted from it, so it's no longer what it was originally.
There was a period of time called the Reformation, back during the time of some of the great thinkers of the Reformation movement, but they had no interest and no desire to go back to the original. They wanted to change or to reform what they had, and the only thing that they were presenting was some changes in that which they were already following without giving any thought to going back to the original and restoring New Testament Christianity.
Now, we don't want anybody to misunderstand what we're saying tonight. We do believe that we do have the New Testament church. But because many people are always constantly straying away, we have to always be involved in bringing people back to that New Testament standard. Always bringing back people to the old paths, not the new ways, but the old ways that God has established, that path that is set forth in the New Testament. And when we think about restoration and bringing things back, we've always got to realize that there has to be a standard. If you're going to restore a car back to its original, well, you have to go back to the original blueprints, don't you, and use the same type of parts and the same type of engine and all that, go back to the very original and make it just like that. Well, if we're going to restore the New Testament church, there has to be a standard, and the standard is seen, well, it's seen throughout the new, throughout the Bible, isn't it, Frank?
Both Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
the standard is outlined for us. The standard that man needs to follow to reach the destination that he has set for himself of being pleasing in God is God's standard. The standard that God has said, if you follow my standard,
exactly,
then you're going to be pleasing unto me.
You know, a really good example of us and for us in understanding the idea that there is a standard for us today, we can begin looking at the story of Cain and Abel. For example, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now here, Frank, we can see clearly that there is a standard. If there was no standard, then how could God be pleased with what one man did and not be pleased with what another man did?
It would be, as you say, be an impossibility. There has to be that which is followed, that which is met. We know that Abel offered of the flock, Cain offered of the fruit of the ground. That which Cain offered, did it look any less appealing than that which Abel offered? I mean, he offered the best, the finest, but it's not according to the standard that God had set.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain."
And
by faith.
And if he offered it by faith, and then Paul tells us in the Roman letter, faith comes of hearing, and hearing of the word of God. God must have given a standard.
Exactly.
You know, everything that we know about God, we know that God would not have left two people out here with no instruction and let them do whatever they wanted to do and be pleased with one and not pleased with the other. The John, as he writes about Cain, he says he's of the evil one. You know, the thing that he did was in direct rebellion to what God had told him to do.
And this is because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Well, why was Cain's works evil and Abel's righteous? It was because he held to God's standard. Abel did, and Cain did not. And tonight we're looking at the importance of the old paths, and we're talking about the importance of always staying true to God's word, not going our own path, and always bringing things back to the standard of the Bible. People are always straying away from God, doing things their own way, and so there's always an effort, an ever-going effort for us to keep the New Testament church restored and the God's way of doing things restored. And when we think about this idea of there always needing to be a standard, Noah's a good example, too, of that, isn't he, Frank?
God, when he spoke to Noah, Noah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. There was a standard given. God didn't just say, go build a boat.
Mm-hmm.
God said, here's what I want you to build. Here's how long I want it, how wide I want it, how tall I want it. Here's the material you're supposed to use. God didn't leave out anything insofar as the instructions that he gave to Noah, so that Noah knew exactly what the standard was and how the ark was to be built.
You know, concerning Noah, the text says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." That's a man who followed the standard of God. He did exactly as God said. As a matter of fact, when he did that, it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he did it God's way.
You know, there's something you mentioned before we came on the air in Jeremiah chapter 10,
mm-hmm.
that it's not in man that walks to direct his own step. Noah wouldn't have known how to build an ark that would have taken care of all of the animals that was placed in it, that would have floated, that would have preserved their life, except God guiding. And, you know, in things spiritual, in the path that we're talking about this evening, we need to let God direct us and to follow the directions that God gives. Too many times man tries to make his own path rather than let God direct us in a way to go.
You know, Frank, we talked about this a little earlier today, that a lot of people claim to love God and they claim to have respect for God and yet want to do things their own way. is that really showing proper respect and love for God, Frank?
Or respect for the holiness of God. God says, if you say you love me and then don't do what I tell you to do, then you're not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. He puts it a little plainer than that, but he said, you're a liar.
That's right.
That we, if we say we love him, then we're going to do what he tells us to do.
So tonight we're talking about the importance of standing in the old paths, and we're showing the need to always be restoring our thoughts, the church, our efforts back to a standard. And there's always set forth a standard in the Scripture for how God wants his people to worship, how he wants them to live their lives. Another good example of a standard, and, you know, there are a lot of people today, Frank, who don't think there's a standard, that there's not a pattern for us today, that we simply are free to do the things we want to do, and at least that's the way people are living. But page after page after page in the New Testament and the Old Testament that we're looking at presently, God has set forth a standard. Nadab and Abihu are a couple of men who realized that God's standard is important to him.
And speaking of that standard, and Nadab and Abihu, and backing up a little, when Moses went up on the mountain, mm-hmm. God gave him directions for the tabernacle. He also told him to do what? Build it exactly as I've commanded. You don't change it in any way. This is where Nadab and Abihu, they left the respect for the commandments of God or the instruction of God. They knew what it was that God wanted them to do. You know, Paul wrote in the Roman letter, chapter 7, verse 12, he said, your law is holy and your commandments is holy. In the Old Testament, when we're looking at the period of time of Nadab and Abihu, worshiping in the tabernacle, worshiping in what was later to become the temple, everything in it was holy. It was dedicated unto God. It was sanctified, set apart unto God. And they had to respect it that way. Even the harness on the animals that moved the parts of the tabernacle had engraved on them, holy unto God, holy unto Jehovah. Mm-hmm. These were dedicated unto him. Well, the fire that is in the tabernacle where the sacrifice was to be offered unto God was a part of that which was holy. Now, Nadab and Abihu, and so many times when we talk about them, they offered strange fire. Well, the reason they offered strange fire was they did not have respect for that which is holy, which is God's Word. And so many times today, the reason that people do not follow the old path is because they do not have respect for that which is holy, which is the commandments of God.
Exactly. And when we think about this idea of following the pattern, just look at Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, where it says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and laid incense thereon and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth a fire from before Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. They did that which was contrary to God's law. God showed his disapproval for anyone who would not give him the holiness he deserved. And when you do things your own way, you're not giving God the holiness he deserves.
They had no respect for that which was holy, God's Word. They decided to do it in their own way for whatever reason, with that which pleased them.
They were given a standard. They disobeyed the standard. My friends in our audience, there cannot be any obedience or disobedience if there's not a standard.
Absolutely.
We have to have a standard. We're talking tonight about the importance of staying in the old paths. Remember, the number to call tonight, if you would like to chime in with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved on the chat box at knowthetruthradio.org if you'd like to chat back and forth or ask us a question or give us a comment that way. that would be fine as well. But remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, when we think about a standard, we know that there is a standard because no one can be right or wrong if there's not a standard. The standard for us, in the Old Testament, was the law of Moses. When we think about this, it's good for us to consider for a moment what we find in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 11, we find this. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not too hard for thee, neither is it too far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, and to make us to hear it, that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, and make us to hear it, that we may do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God gave a standard to Israel. And Frank, he tells them that it's not beyond their reach. It's not hidden. It was there available to them. They had a standard, and they knew what the standard was.
Man has never been, you know, the book of Hebrews begins that God, having at old times spoken to the fathers through the prophets, when you read the rest of the first chapter of Hebrews, don't end of the second chapter, never been a time when God didn't have a standard given to the people. They were not left to guess or to do what they wanted to do. God spoke to them, and he spoke to us today through his Son. And so, yes, there is that revealed standard that man has always had.
Now, he talks about here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, that this standard is not beyond their reach. It is not hidden. It's something that they can understand, something that they can get a hold on. Isn't that also true for us today, that God's standard for us is also something that we can come to understand and know?
Absolutely. A lot of times today you hear people say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, you can't understand it if you don't read it, if you don't study it. But it's not far from us. You know, God didn't give us something that is beyond our capability of understanding and then tell us he's going to judge us by it. And we have his word, the standard, a standard that's clear, understandable, and we have one that will judge us in the last day. The words that I speak, the same will judge you.
Exactly.
This is our standard today.
You know, when we think about this idea of the importance of the old paths, and for us to stay in the old paths, that tells us that there has to be a standard. If God has a path that he wants us to travel, then he also has given us directions on how to stay on that path and where that path is. And so it's important for us then to understand, if we're going to always be the kind of people God wants us to be, if we're going to stay in the old paths, then there is a standard. And again, I emphasize the point that there are a lot of people today, Frank, who say that there is not a pattern, that God's word is not a pattern for us. Some people say, well, it's nothing but a love letter, something we don't need to really be concerned about. All we got to do is just love Jesus and feel like he's in your heart. But God tells us that there is something that we're going to have to follow.
You know, they would like us to think, or they would teach, that God just made a general statement, and then we're left to fill in all the details and come in any way that we want to. God is specific. Jesus didn't leave a question hanging in the air. He said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. I mean, it's plain, it's simple, but it's a very complex thing.
Exactly. Well, it's about time for us to take a break on the radio. We're going to be taking a break from the radio. We'll still be on the Internet, but we'll be on break from the radio for just a few moments. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
You're back.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. With me tonight, filling in for David, is Frank Briscoe. Been preaching the gospel for some 56 years. As a matter of fact, Frank had a birthday yesterday. He's a young age of 78 years old, been preaching the gospel for 56 years, who preaches for the church in Santo. And we're delighted to have him with us tonight. And again, we want to give our best wishes and prayers to David, who's up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, who has undergone a bone marrow transplant. He's doing good, doing everything the doctors expected of him. And some good news are coming from him. And he is thankful to God for all the blessings that have been afforded him, and he's thankful for all the people round about who've been praying for him. And David, we love you, and we're continuing to pray for you. Tonight we're talking about the importance of the old past. And we began tonight by looking at the passage in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, where Jeremiah says, "Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." We're having a problem in our day where there are many people who are no longer desiring to walk in the old paths. Frank, there being an old path tells us that there has to be what?
A new path, something that someone else has given. Had a discussion with an individual one time. We were discussing being obedient unto God, doing the things that God tells us to do. A particular subject came up, and he didn't agree with it. And then he made the statement, "Well, if you can show me in the Bible where it says we must do that, I'll believe it." Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, there was a passage that in so many words tells us exactly what he was asking. We turned to it and read it. His answer was, I didn't know that was in the Bible. His comment was, when the Bible disagrees with what I feel right here, and he patted himself on the chest, he said, I just have to believe the Bible's wrong. In other words, he went down a different path. There is the old path. We had the standard, but he didn't want it.
Would you say that he did not have respect for the holiness of God?
No respect for that which is holy.
You know, we live in a day when people are always wanting to do things their own way. That was the problem that Jeremiah was having with the people of that day. We heard what the Bible said. We know what the paths are. But they said simply, we will not walk therein.
Jeremiah was a prophet for about 50 years. That he knew what was going to befall the children of Israel because of the way that they lived. God had told him of the terror of the north that was going to come. And repeatedly he outlined to them what the way of the Lord was. And then as we read in that verse a moment ago, in chapter 6, they said, we will not hear.
You know, we were talking about early in our program about the importance of a standard. If we're going to restore the New Testament church, if we're going to restore our lives, if we're going to get ourselves back to God, there has to be a standard. We talked about how that Cain and Abel, they had a standard. Cain violated the standard. We talked about Noah, how he had a standard, and he abided by the standard. We talked about Nadab and Abihu. They had a standard. They violated the standard. We talked about also the standard in the Old Testament was the law of Moses. And Moses told us through Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 4, it's something that you can understand, something that you have at hand, something that's there for you. But, Frank, we also today have a standard, don't we, for our present day? And what is that standard that we have today?
Here we have God's Word, the light and lamp to us today, just as God's Word was for those in the Old Testament. And we mentioned earlier from the book of Hebrews, first chapter, second chapter, he tells us that here is the message that was so important. Here is the standard that is so important that God sent his Son to deliver that standard. Up until then, God's standard was important, but God permitted and assigned certain individuals, prophets, to declare the standard to man. But when it came to that which is ours today, pertaining to the salvation of our soul, he said, here is that which only the Son of God could give to us. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?
When we talk about this standard, in Old Testament times, they had the law of Moses, didn't they? We realize today that now we have a new covenant, a new testament. The old one was nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. We also realize that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that then he has said, lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. There is now a new covenant. The Old Testament, now the New Testament. We today are under the New Testament, and the New Testament is our standard.
Occasionally someone will accuse us, you, me, others, y'all don't believe the Old Testament. We believe it was God's Word. It was the tutor to bring us unto Christ. Everything in the Old Testament was from God, and it was true. But it was not written to you and to me. That when Christ came, he gave us, as you read there from the Colossian letter, Hebrew, a new law, one that is ours today from God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so when we think about this idea of the new covenant and that being our standard, Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48 that we're going to be judged by that standard. Now, if we're going to stay in the old paths and do things God's way, and then he tells us in John 12 and verse 48 that we're going to be judged by his words, the New Testament, then what is our standard today, Frank?
Okay, again, in the book of Hebrews, where he talks about there was an old, and he said if there's a new, there had to be an old covenant, so we have two. And the one in which we live now is new, and he's talked about the glory of the first. And then he said that glory passed away by reason of the glory that surpassed it. We're sitting in here under some bright lights. If these lights were off and we had a candle, that candle would give us a certain amount of light. But when the light above us is turned on, the candle would fade away. You know, the Old Testament was the light of God for those who lived under it. But now we have His will for us given by His Son.
Mm-hmm. The reason we're talking about this tonight is that there are so many people who are straying away from the standard, who are getting away from the old paths, who are simply wanting to do things their own way. Now remember tonight, the number to call if you have a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And it is easy to see that there are so many people in our world who are getting away from the old path, who are trying to blaze a new path that is diametrically opposed to what God says. God has given us a standard. He gave a standard to the people of old times in the Old Testament. They had a standard by which they were to live. Today, we have a standard by which we are to live, a standard by which we are to live by. And as has been going on in the chat box, we realize that we need to be concerned about all of God's commands for us. Some people say things like, well, we don't really sweat the small stuff. We always are involved in doing the important things. But the question I've always had for people is, who told you what is important and what is not important? And what is the small stuff and what is not the small stuff? Correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, but if it's in the New Testament, it's important for us to understand and obey, isn't it?
Not only important, it's absolutely necessary. In a Galatian letter, Paul writes to the church there, who had been in existence a short period of time, they'd received the gospel, and he said, I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any other than that which we preach unto you, let him be anathema. And for further emphasis, he said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which you receive, let him be anathema. And he described that other gospel. He said it's just one that has had some changes made in it. It's not something totally new and different that comes, you know, from way out in left field. It is that which came from God, but man has changed it.
So they have reformed the Word of God into their own liking, haven't they? Instead of restoring it and getting things back to way the Bible says they ought to be. We need to be involved in always a restoration and not a reformation. Well, if we're not involved in a restoration using the standard that is set before us, then any kind of restoration that we might try to do or trying to be the way God wants us to be, it's impossible if we violate His standard. We see people in the Old Testament who are violating the standard of God, and they could never be the kind of people God wanted them to be. They could never get close to God like they perhaps wanted to or should because they rejected the standard. And I'm thinking about the passage in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, and it's amazing to me, Frank. After the days of Joshua, maybe the heyday of Israel, if you will, they're doing all this thing. They go in and conquer the land and do all these great things for the Lord and are a powerful nation. And then a very sad verse occurs in Judges 2 and verse 10. It says, and all that generation were gathered together under their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. It didn't take long, did it, Frank, for Israel to go away into apostasy and to begin to make their own path and to violate the old path.
You know, the very last verse of that book, when you go to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What was his standard? What I want to do.
Exactly.
Instead of one, you know, earlier the verse that you read, they took no knowledge, they did not know God, did not know Jehovah, but everyone did that which was right, did what he thought he was right, what he wanted to do. That's not a whole lot different than the way man is today.
You know, one of the reasons we have the Old Testament is for us to learn from their examples, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when we look at a passage like Isaiah chapter 66, we see just how important it is for us to follow God's standard and do things God's way, because if we aren't doing things God's way, well, God's not going to be pleased with us. He's not going to accept who we are. He's not going to accept our worship. It says there in Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 1, "Thus said Jehovah, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build unto me? And what place shall be my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, saith Jehovah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slayeth a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he breaketh a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as he that offereth swine's blood. He that burneth frankincense as he that blesseth an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, none did hear. But they did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that wherein I delight not." That's the problem with mankind. That's the problem that has always been with mankind, isn't it, Frank?
Two of the earlier prophets, later prophets, just after Isaiah, spoke of the same condition, and God added one other thing. He said, don't pray for them. Now, there he was speaking to the prophet, don't ask good for people that are going in the wrong way, that are rejecting God.
You know, he's saying here that they chose their own way. And as a result of choosing their own way, their sacrifices were of no more benefit than sacrificing a dog or offering swine's blood. That's how God looked at those sacrifices and their worship, because they would not do things God's way. The same is holding true for us today, isn't it, Frank? When we worship God, and we need to be doing things His way, or God's not going to be pleased, God's not going to be listening, God's not going to accept it.
I read a comment an individual made. He spoke concerning a service that he'd attended over in the Metroplex, and for some reason, this was being interviewed on television, and they asked him about it. He said, "I had so much fun, I was almost embarrassed." And then you get to think about it. Here, who has been blessed, who has been praised, who's been worshipped? No one. Mm-hmm. He's done that which entertained himself, rather than offering unto God that which is pleasing unto God. So many times we get to thinking high instead of God. What do I want?
You know, again, we get back to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, where he tells them to stand in the old path. He says, where is the good way? There's where you're supposed to walk. But he says, they will not walk therein. It's important for us today to realize the importance of doing things God's way. Not our way, not blazing some new path, but doing things God's way. The gospel was and is being departed from today, as people of old in the Old Testament times were departing from God's way. You know, we have people in the church, for example, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, who had become lukewarm, who had become lackadaisical in their Christianity. And what did the Scripture say of how God viewed those kind of people, Frank?
He said, I'd rather that you either be hot or cold. Mm-hmm. Because you're neither, he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Not a very pleasant picture, but it does express to us the total rejection that God has for those who do not follow His way.
Yeah, and there's always an, I just want to spit you out of my mouth. You're distasteful to me. Why? They had begun to do things their own way, hadn't they? That's what we've got to realize today, that whenever we begin to do things again our own way, we're going to be distasteful in the sight of God. You know, this was prophesied of, that people would be doing these very things. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, to the hypocrisy of men that speak lies branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. People today, Frank, aren't they, are departing from the faith.
From the faith. So much in religion today, and the message to the church of Sardis, you have a name that you're alive, mm-hmm. but you're dead. Could well be speaking concerning some of the things that man is doing today. Looks good, but it has nothing to do with what God has commanded. You know, we have God's Word. God's revealed unto us His message, and there's four different ways man can deal with the teachings of God. When we receive the teaching of God, man can reject it. Over in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, those to whom Stephen was speaking on that particular occasion, they were cut to the heart, but they stoned him to death. They rejected the Word of God. Or we can ridicule it. You know, when Paul, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, Paul's lesson on Mars Hill, when he spoke in the Areopagus in the city of Athens, some of them mocked him because he talked about the resurrection of the dead. We can resist his teaching, Agrippa. He knew what the prophet said. He believed what the prophet said. But he was almost persuaded. He said, yeah, that's not enough to convince me. Then there are others who, like those on the day of Pentecost, the multitude there, when they heard the word, they received it. And this is kind of where man is today. We have the teaching of God. It's not far from us. It's not hard to understand. We can receive it. We can reject it. We can ridicule it, or we can obey it. It's up to us to choose the way that we're going to live.
You know, in that same line of thinking, I remember in the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, it says they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what must we do? Then I think over in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, when Stephen preached a similar type lesson, this is they were cut to the heart, they gnashed on him with their teeth. There were two totally different responses to the same gospel message. You know, a lot of people today, Frank, are doing the same thing. They hear God's word, they know what it says, but they are refusing to do what God says. They want to go their own path, and they're rejecting the old path. They want to do things their own way. Proverbs 14, verse 12, isn't it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Of death. Mm-hmm.
People are following the wrong path, not the old path. And that's what we want to encourage you to get back to. Get back to the old path. Do things God's way, because that's the only way that's going to get us to heaven.
You know, the wise man in another verse a little earlier than that said that it's foolish to walk in darkness. And when you stop and think what he's talking about, how foolish it is to drive down the highway in the dark of the night without lights. Be foolish. You know what you're risking. And yet how many people go down the highway of life without the light mm-hmm. of God's Word?
Didn't the psalmist say, your Word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my path? You see, that's what we're wanting to stay on, God's path, the old way, the old path. It's a sad situation that we find ourselves in, Frank, when there are so many people today whose simply are refusing to obey what the Bible says. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody would just simply say, let's just do it just like the Bible says? They ridicule it. They don't care what the Bible says. They just simply want to do things their own way. And when you do things your own way, it's not going to cause anything but difficulty with God. And didn't it really get back, Frank, to what you said earlier? Not respecting the holiness of God. I really like that idea that people do not respect God's holiness when they do not respect His Word.
Because He said His Word is holy.
Mm-hmm. And if it's holy, how should we regard it? How careful should we be with the Word of God?
As careful as we would be in the very presence of God.
Exactly.
It is His Word, His message.
Isn't that what the word inspiration means? Theonoustos, God breathed, the very breath of God. And if people would really understand that we have before us in the Scriptures the very breath of God, the very presence of God, the very holiness of God, should we not have the proper respect for the Word of God and stand in the old path?
I don't think people listen to what they say. When you and I both have had people say, well, I know the New Testament says that, but I don't think we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're really listening to themselves at the total disrespect they have for God and that which is holy.
Several months back, David and I were having a discussion on the radio with a woman who didn't think the Bible said something similar to what you said a while ago. And we showed her exactly what the Bible said, and she says, oh, the Bible does say that, but I don't believe it.
Absolutely.
And that's the way a lot of people are in the world today. They know what the Bible says. They know what they ought to be doing. They just simply refuse to do it or just simply say, I don't believe it, because it doesn't coincide with what they want. The old paths. We need to stay in the old paths. It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight. Have enjoyed being with you tonight, talking about the importance of the old paths. We want to encourage you that if you'd like to listen to the program again tonight, you can do so at 9 o'clock here on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. If you'd like to go back and check out some of the other radio programs we've done in the past, you can do that also by going to the HarrisonMoore.org, where you can listen in to past programs. Again, we're thankful that you've been in our audience this evening. Thanks, Frank, for filling in again. And Frank's going to be again with me next week. And by the way, the Pope made a very interesting statement here recently that Frank and I are going to talk about next week, about something to the fact that all you got to do is do good things and
you'll be there.
But then there was somebody that chimed in who was an atheist who says, well, I guess that means atheists are going to heaven too. We're going to talk about things like that and concerning that next week. You have been listening to the HPR Network.